World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, my goodness. You caught me doing something here. I got to do that. Just a second, folks. Bear with me just a second here. I'm on my cell phone. I'm sending this to Jared right now. Let's go, Jared. So we can get, actually, it's coming to Spencer. We'll get this thing up and rolling here. I think you got it. So, Spence, get that ready. I think I just sent to you. Get that ready to go. Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's what, the 14th day? It's going to be 58 degrees here in good old Columbus, Ohio. That's pretty amazing. We just had that horrible tornado come through. You know, you get the confluence of hot air and cold air coming together. That's what causes that terrific, horrific hurricane or tornado down in up through Kentucky and Missouri. Amazing. But we got the after effects of that wind blowing up through here for, I don't even know how many hours. And hey, listen, quickly. Thank you, Christy. Can you guys see that? The real Anthony Fauci. Now, folks, if you want to read a book, can I say this? That will pee you off. Pick this one up. The real Anthony Fauci. In fact, I had a friend of mine say to me yesterday, Coach, if we could raise $22 million and we could get this book in the hands of a million people, we would have a revolution the next day. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he names names, folks. He actually names names. Talks about the deep state and who the deep state is and how they've done it. And, you know, I was kind of hesitant because I thought, now, Robert F. Kennedy, talk about deep state, right? His uncle, Jack, and his dad. I mean, who could be more of the deep state than the Kennedys, right? But then I thought, you know what? They offed both of those guys, didn't they? They offed both of them. And this dude has some courage. I'm not hawking a book. I don't get any money for it, but I'm telling you, the real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharmacy, and the global war on democracy and public health. I went to lunch yesterday with a doctor friend of mine. I'm not sound like I'm important. Why do we think doctors are better than anybody else? I want to get him on because he talked about the corruption. My friend, now I'm talking about. He talked about the corruption in the medical industry. He said, it's unbelievable. He said, we don't even really have a medical system anymore. It's so, so corrupt. He said, some of these doctors, these guys are making $1 million a year. He said, they're not going to buck the system. They're going to let somebody else buck the system. I said, do they know this stuff? He said, yeah, they know it, but they're not going to buck the system. And you know what? I think that's true. I think if you were the devil, wouldn't you seize health? If you were the devil, if you were going to put one of the targets up there that you were going to get in control of, I think number one would be family, children, and number two would be health. I can't think of anything more important to anybody.
Money, there's nothing. Money.
Well, they all lead to money, Mark. But see, I think this, there's nothing that impacts our lives more than those two things, family and health, nothing. And every day when I get up and I go over and give my wife a big old hug and she comes over and I'm sitting on the couch, she goes and gives me that little kiss on the top of my head. I understand every morning, I'm just talking about me now, every morning how much she means to me. I can't even imagine what life would be without my wife. Meaning what? If she were attacked by something medically, it would turn our lives upside down, wouldn't it, friends? It would turn our lives upside down. Anything that would happen to your family would do that. Your family or your health are the two main issues. And Robert F. Kennedy makes a Jr. God, what a case he makes. It's thick. It's footnoted. It'll tick you. No, I haven't read it all. I read fast, but I haven't. Oh, man. It's amazing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the real Anthony Fauci. So I said to my wife, how long is he going to stay alive? How long is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. going to stay alive? The idea that they told us that there was a separation between the church. They slid humanism in. And when you slide humanism in, God has to go. So they ejected God through humanism and brought in communism. They are brother and sister. And the question I asked was, how many of you have ever in your church ever heard a sermon on that? Ever? Bible tells us what? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed because they just don't know. How do we win a fight if we don't know what the other enemy's techniques are? That's what a good football coach does. He does a scouting report. Because when you go getting ready to play the opponent next Friday night, I want to know what do they do well and what do they not do so well, because we're going to be able to attack them. And the Humanist Manifesto and the Communist Manifesto, they're brother and sister. And ever heard a sermon on it? Ever heard a sermon? Hey, Spencer, here's the easiest way to do that. You did a great job there. I just want to show people how to be able to find it. Okay, folks, if you ever get on Brighteon and you want to see, so you're not watching a live show, like you go right there now. John Diamond has a show, comes on at 9 o'clock. I think his show's at 9. And he's on for an hour, 2 hours. Or it's an hour, I'm sorry. And then, stay right there, Spence. It says archived at this channel. Look down at the bottom right there, folks. All you have to do is click on that. And then it shows you all of yesterday's shows. And there I am, 40 views in the last 18 hours. Let's get that thing pumped up. And I'm telling you, all I did was talk about Humanist Manifesto, slides into the Communist Manifesto, and here we are in modern America today. Because why? It was important. Communism is atheistic. In order for communism to work, their government has to be God. That's the only way it can work. And so in order to undermine Christianity, they had to bring in humanism, the separation between the church and the state, get Christianity out of our schools, get Christianity out of the minds of the people, let Christianity become nothing more than another social club that you go to. You go to your own Elks Lodge. Your church is an Elks Lodge. It's a legion. It's an American legion. Folks, do you understand it? Do you understand it? That's what they've done. And then we have our pastors come along, and our pastors tell us, keep your everything in the Elks Lodge. Don't bring it into government. Keep it in the legion hall. Don't bring it into... That's what our churches have become. When Jesus said that we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, but we're not able to do that. Because why? Because humanism, man is God. You know what's really amazing? I went to Webster's. You know, I love Webster's 1828 dictionary. I went to Webster's and I looked up humanism. And you know what I found? Yeah, nothing. Nothing. It wasn't even a word. It wasn't even a word back in 18. Hey, Spencer, they don't believe me. No, they don't believe me. Go to Webster real quick, Spencer. Go to Webster. By the way, folks, if you're not watching Brighteon, there's a lot of really, really good stuff down there. A lot of really good stuff. Humanism. Webster's 1828 dictionary. Humanism. No word. No word. And humanism, humanist is one versed in the knowledge of human nature. See, that's how far we hadn't fallen yet. That's how far a humanist was someone who studied human nature. Now, humanism is a religion. How do I know it's a religion? Spencer, Google it. Google Humanist Manifesto for me real quick. Folks, I'm sorry. I'm giving you a short version of what I did yesterday. And the people probably at Brighteon who watch it, they probably think I'm freaking crazy. They probably think I'm nuts. Because why? They've never heard this stuff. They've never heard it. Look at this. The Manifesto, the American Humanist Association, written in 1933. It says, the Manifesto is a product of many minds. It was designed to represent a developing point of view, not a new creed. A developing point of view. Folks, this developing point of view has overthrown Christianity in America. 1933. Hadn't been that long. The individuals whose signatures appear would, had they been writing individual statements, have stated the propositions in different terms. The importance of this document is that more than 30 men, folks, are you listening to me? 30 men overthrew Christianity in America. More than 30 men. That's like saying more than 50, more than 70. They don't even really know, do they? They didn't say more than 40. So what's 31, 32, that number 33? That more than 30 men have come to a general agreement on the matters of final concern, and that these men are undoubtedly representatives of a large number who are forging a new philosophy out of the materials of the modern world. 1933. What happened in 1947, merely 14 years later? Why, the Supreme Court, our good old friend Hugo Black, said there's a separation between the church and state. They kicked God off the throne and they put man on it. And that's been our slippery. Now, raise your hand right now if your pastor has done a sermon on this. Huh? That's what I thought. And why do your people? Why are people destroyed? For lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge. Now, hang on, because I'm sorry. You can go watch Bridie on, get the whole thing, but this is, some of you won't. So let me hit you in the face with this, okay? The time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. The time has passed for mere revision of traditional attitudes. Science and economic change have disrupted the old beliefs. Religions the world over are under the necessity of coming to terms with new conditions created by vastly increased knowledge and experience. And in every field of human activity, the vital movement is now in the direction of a candid, explicit humanism. By the way, 50 years before, 100 years before this, humanism wasn't even a word. In order that religious humanism, folks, by their out of their own mouths, humanism is a religion. And they told us there's a separation between the church and state, and they cram this crap down the throat of your children 5 days a week, 7.5 hours a day in the public schools. A religion, religious humanism, I lost my place, may be better understood. In order that religious humanism may be better understood, we, the undersigned, desire to make certain affirmations which we believe the facts of our contemporary life demonstrate. There's a great danger of a final and we believe fatal identification of the world religion with doctrines and methods which have lost their significance and which are powerless to solve the problems of human global warming. TCR, yes. Oh, critical race theory. Oh, yes. We're going to solve these. Religion can't solve these. They've lost their significance and are powerless to solve the problems of human living in the 20th century. Religions have always been means for realizing the highest values of life, and their end has always been accomplished through the interpretation of the total environment situation, theology, or worldview. And these factors result in the alteration of the outward forms of religion. Evil men have crept in unawares, the Bible tells us. This fact explains the changefulness of religions through the century, but through all changes, religion itself remains constant in its quest for abiding values and in separate feature of human life. See what they've done to it? Today, man's larger understanding of the universe, his scientific achievements, and deeper appreciation of brotherhood have created a situation which requires a new standard of the means and purposes of religion. Humanism is a religion, friends. Such a vital, fearless, and frank religion capable of furnishing adequate social goals. See, it's never about the supernatural. It's never about heaven or hell. Humanism is based on the fact there is no God, and this is it. This life is it. Such a vital, fearless, and frank religion capable of furnishing adequate social goals and personal satisfactions may appear to many people as a complete break with the past. Ah, no, Sherlock. I'm going to get rid of God and we're going to elevate man. That would be a break with the past, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Well, this age does owe a vast debt to traditional religions. Oh, we're glad we had all those traditional religions, but now we're enlightened. Man's in control. Come on. We got Dr. Fauci. We got the Department of Health. It is nonetheless obvious that any religion that can hope to be a synthesizing and dynamic force for today must be shaped for the needs of this age. No more my old, that old time religion. Don't give me that old time religion. To establish such a religion, folks, they're telling us it's a religion. To establish such a religion is a major necessity of the present. It's a responsibility which rests upon this generation. And then therefore we affirm this. Religious humanists, their word again, regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Boom! Genesis 1, boom, gone. Okay, I'm not going to read down through. Raise your hand or speak up if you've ever heard a sermon on this in your church. Well, I know why. We don't mix the secular with the sacred here. We don't mix religion with politics. That's how we get somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who claims to be a Catholic, who's the third most powerful person in America, and the church doesn't even get it. So they don't even get it. And you go, oh, man, I opened a can of worms. Before I go, I got to go here real quick. Hey, listen, Jamie Walden needs prayer. Jamie Walden. He texted me this morning. Coach, I've never been sicker. Never been sicker. Now, those of you who know Jamie, that tells you something, doesn't it? He's out there in Colorado, and he's trying to revamp an old church camp type thing, and he can't be laying around in bed. So take carry Jamie before the throne, you will. And OJ and Dorita, please pray for OJ and Dorita. They went to the hospital. Their son took them to the hospital last night. And Dorita seems to be getting a little bit better. They gave her some type of infusion. She seems to be getting a little bit better. OJ, OJ's oxygen was low. Right? We know what that means, right? But praise the Lord, they gave him oxygen, a tank, and sent him home to get his oxygen levels back up. So be praying for OJ and Dorita. And I told you, their house, half a mile, tornado missed their house. Earlier this week. So they're under assault. Can we be honest here? We don't know what this thing is, do we? You can call it COVID if you want to. It ain't COVID. I don't know what it is, but it isn't COVID. And I know this, OJ and Dorita have been taking all the prophylactic. They've been doing all that stuff. They've been doing everything. And still something jumped on them. And I'm going to say what nobody else will say. It is a disease of the vaccinated. Whatever is I'm going to say it again, and I don't care if you, I don't care if you never tune in again. The vaccinated are spreading this thing, whatever this thing is. It's man-made. Amen. And the vaccinated are the ones who are spreading this thing.
Amen.
That's my take on it. That's my take. By the way, they had 150 mile an hour winds come up, roaring up through there for 230 miles. Wouldn't you think they blew that virus to kingdom come? Wouldn't you think that thing is gone? Wouldn't you think that virus is up in some? It's up in Canada somewhere now, isn't it? Oh, they lied to us so much, and we freaking buy it. I got one more thing. I'm gonna let you jump in here. Oh, I got so much good stuff today, folks. The left is so losing. Can I encourage you today? They are so losing. And let me see, at the end of the day, truth prevails. At the end of the day, truth always prevails. And here's the quandary the left finds themselves in. Y'all been watching closely, I know. The transgender athletes. In fact, I got an article I could pull up on transgender athletes. That boys... young men who were nothing in male sports, all of a sudden become women and go compete in women's sports and are winning gold medals everywhere you look. Do you guys understand what a freight train that is running into the feminist movement? You understand that? Do you understand the quandary that the feminists find themselves in, because for the first time, they are pitted against another movement. The transgender oppressed movement running headlong into the feminist movement. And which one of those is going to win? How can any woman in the world call herself a feminist and be for men competing in women's sports? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But see, they're caught in their own petard, because how do you speak out against it? How does the feminist movement speak against another minority, the transgender? How do they call them out? It's a head on. It's going to be fun to watch, folks. But here's what we know: it destroys all. It's exposes all their hypocrisy. Same thing with the "my body, my choice" thing. The exact same thing. Your body, your choice to kill a baby, but not your body, your choice to take a vaccine. Really, huh? Folks, we're winning. Why? Because truth always prevails. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. We just got to keep saying the truth, and we got to say it louder and louder and louder. We are winning this debate. I got one more thing, I think. Let me see. Oh, I got to say this. I'm sick of it. Pick up your toes. I'm sick of children using their. I'm sick of children using their children as bargaining chips against grandparents. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about. I'm sick of it, folks. I'm sick of my children aren't doing this, but I'm sick of my children telling me I can't see my grandson unless I take the, I'm sick of that, folks. I'm sick of that. And we better take that thing head on. And let me tell you something, Grandma and Grandpa. If you bow your knee to the demands of your children, you have gone down a slippery slope that you will never recover from. I just told my wife this morning. One of my kids says that to me. I say, listen, dude, don't you dare pick up that phone and call me for any kind of help then. You need financial help. You need me to babysit. You need me to run an errand. No. This ain't a one-way street, baby. This is a two-way street. And there will be no conditions by which I will see my grandchildren. Folks, if you don't draw that line, you're asking for trouble.
Amen.
If you don't draw that line, you're asking for trouble. And if you don't go to your children and tell your children, how dare you put restrictions? How dare you use my grandbabies as a weapon against me? So you ain't seen nothing yet. You want a war? You just declared war. Because you know why? They know you're a softy. They know you'll give in. Michelle said to me this morning, honey, would you ever take a vaccine to see our grandbabies? After she woke up from the punch and knocked her down on the floor, she had the message. No, I didn't punch her. But you get it, right? You get it. It comes back to, again, honor thy father and mother. Those are my crown. Those are the jewels of my crown. My grandchildren. How dare they do that? Come on in, James Bruner. Get me going here this morning.
Coach, regarding humanism, why doesn't somebody burn the mother down and sue all the school systems, all the education boards, all the school boards, all the government organizations for education, for teaching religion in the classroom?
Because we don't have any lawyers that even think that way, James. I've said that before, right? You know why it is also? Because most of the Christian lawyers, I'm going to yell at Roger Weaver. I don't know if Roger's in here. Here's Roger Weaver, good attorney. Roger, your pastor ever talked to you about this? Has your pastor ever brought this up? You've sat in that pew how long, and your pastor's never brought it up that they're teaching humanism as a religion in public schools? Ever brought that up to you, Roger?
Well, no.
No. That's why, James. That's why. You talk about an easy lawsuit. All you got to do is look at their... They call themselves religion. They call themselves a religion. there's a separation between the church and the state. But no, no. See, that is the state religion. That is the state religion. So how can you separate them? See, if you separate humanism from the state, they're no government. Oh, man. I'm fired up. I wasn't fired up until I came down the steps this morning. Come on in, Bernie.
Yeah, Coach. One thing that's going on is that we need to know that freedom is a gift from God. It's not just something we go out and take. And
Bernie, there isn't any God. There isn't any God, Bernie. We're humanists now, Bernie. There isn't any God. Go ahead.
Baloney. And it's not. This is not showing any insufficiency in Christianity. It's the insufficiency of man without God.
Yes, man. All right? Yes, sir.
We're not gonna. If we don't get our act cleaned up, don't expect God to bless you if you're not gonna walk with Him.
Amen. I got a verse on that I'm going to read later on here, Bernie. That's right. Huh? Hey, folks, raise your hand right now if you never knew this about humanism. If you never knew religion, humanism is a religion, raise your hand right now. Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on. Some of you are lying.
Coach.
Some of you are lying.
We learned on your show once, Coach. Yeah. We learned on your show about
it. Yeah. Yeah. You take it to your church and start talking about that, they'll throw you out. They'll think you're crazy. They'll think you're crazy. Come on, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Mm-hmm. So a couple things. You have a great topics this morning. I want to say real quick, though, I was reading that a UK study showed that 4 out of 5, so 80% of the people dying now over there from COVID are, quote, vaccinated. So call it what you want, but it's only killing the vaccinated.
Because why? Rochelle, listen, it's the religion. It's the religion of the government. They have to lie to cover their religion. Go ahead. Didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
So with what you were reading, there was a sentence in there and it went something like, with our new greater understanding of the universe, we have to create a new situation and a new religion around it was right. The gist of it.
Basically, that's right, yes.
Think about that, guys. He attacked our creation. They have gone after our creation. How strong would the Christians be if we could prove the creation model of the Bible? Coach, you said that they attack the family. They attack our health. They first attacked the creation. And that took us all out of the Bible. And now it's fair game.
Until we know
that everything in that Bible is true, it's going to be hard to believe everything in there was true. And now that I know it, you know, they can't shut me up. And that sometimes isn't a good thing. But just because I haven't been trained properly doesn't. That was the thing.
They want to convince us that the government can control the weather. Now, we know they can't, right? But global warming, somehow we can control the climate. Climate change, right? Folks, it's all humanism, man as God. Silver, come in. Michelle, you kept breaking up a little bit today. Silver.
Good morning. You were talking about...
But the people humanism started making all their idols, and they come in and say, yes, we're going to make this one strong.
Okay.
Go ahead and mute her. Go ahead and mute her.
She's muted.
You're breaking up a lot, Rochelle. We can't hear you.
Real bad, Rochelle.
Go ahead. Anyway, go ahead, Joe.
We talk about humanism, and one of the outshoots of that is communism. And one of the best programs I've seen on that as a kid was Bishop Sheen's take on it. And that's on YouTube. I sent a link to Spence about it, but it's like 25 minutes and it gives you a clear understanding of goals and what they're trying to do. So Joe,
if I were the devil, thank you to put it in the chat, Spencer. So if I was the devil, and I was going to overthrow America, I would first come in and say, by the way, this Christianity that the foundation is built upon, Psalm 11:3, the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? I'm going to get rid of God, the mention of God, the teaching of God, the training in the Bible. I'm going to get rid of all that. And then I'm going to bring in this religion called humanism. And then I'm going to make any mention of God illegal. That's the way they do it.
That's exactly what they've done, and they continue to do, right? Folks, if you, I asked this the other day, I think it was on the show, but I asked it in person yesterday to somebody's, anyway, can you name one totally, completely, 100% sold out Christian in an elected position in America? One guy that you know when he steps before the cameras, Christ is coming out of his mouth. Can anybody name one? I can't name one. I'm waiting. Huh? They hide it in their pocket. Oh, they pull it out every once. They pull Jesus out every once in a while, stick it back in their pocket. Do they lead with Jesus? No, they don't lead with Jesus. Why? Because that's going against the state religion. Can't go against state religion. Come on in, Tracy.
Wow, you've hit on five more subjects I could really talk about, but I'll just say what I put my hand up originally for. People are hungry, Coach. Brett, Ohio Brett, I don't know if he's in here, but he deserves a round of applause for the attention that he grabbed in our MOVCAC meeting last night in Marietta. And people were coming to me for cards, and I've already handed them cards out, but they wanted to hand them out to everybody else. And I went through a stack of cards last night. He did fabulous, and people are hungry, Coach. They're eating it up. They want to know. They want to know the truth. So we're
Tracy,
doing
God
good.
Bless you.
We're doing good.
We're winning. We're winning. Tracy, I'll get you some more cards, folks. This is the power. Hear me. This is the power of the ChristianRevolution.net. Can somebody name any group, any organization that is unashamedly saying, we're Christian, are you ready? And we're here to take over. Can anybody name any organization that is boldly saying that? And you know what the people are, you know, I was with Butch Paul last night. You know what the people are saying when they hear that? How do I get involved? How do I get involved? Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And where are the pastors? They're back in, who knows where they are.
Hey Coach.
Yeah.
I have to say the pastor of that church commended, yes.
Rodney, he's a good man. Rodney's a good man.
Yeah, for speaking out that other pastors aren't doing.
Amen. Can you imagine the power of the pulpit, the unified power of the pulpit saying, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it, but we can't because we're focused on evacuation. We've lost. What a mindset. Who would ever want to coach a team like that? I'd get rid of every damn one of them. They don't think they can win. What are they doing? Get in somebody else's locker room. That's where I would go with it.
Amen.
I wouldn't even let them in my locker room. Wouldn't even let them, let alone let them open their mouth and talk to everybody else. They'd be the first guy. I'd go to Coach Norm, say, E, get him out of here, E. Get him out of here. That's what I'd do. That's what I'd do.
A little leaven.
A little leaven in the whole arm. Okay. You're right, Craig. You're right, man. Oh, boy, I'm feeling this today. We're on the verge of something. I got so much stuff I want to share with you. Come on in, Myra. Then Larry.
Good morning, Saints. How you morning, doing? Myra. Thank you, Coach. Thank you. I give praise and glory to the Father. Hi, Tracy. In regard to humanistics, we have that in the counseling field. We see theorists like Carl Rogers and existential, which in a way, it copycats from the Bible, because but they give it another name, but they twisted it. It's just a twist.
Escapism, Myra. They're figuring out a way.
In Gestalt's therapy, which is. Yep. Supposedly to be a supportive climate for clients. So that's how I know about humanistic, but it's a
so folks, amen. So my folks, don't miss this. Okay. Don't miss this. The pulpit is full of humanism. Your best life now. Humanism, friends. It's Christian humanism, and we can't even recognize it. Why? Because it feels good. It feels good to, oh, I can be rich, I can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Jesus will do that for me. Oh, give me Jesus. No, 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 no. He wants you to lay down your life. Ooh, ooh. Don't see it? See what's happened? Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life, lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, don't take it. I lay it down. You can't take it back up. Lay it down. Lay it down. Crucify yourself daily. No, that don't sell many books. Doesn't sell many books. Come on in, Larry. Then Jeff.
Yeah, you know, you asked, does anyone know of any organization that is unapologetically Christian? Yeah, Friends of Liberty United. Our videos say if you're not a Christian, you won't fit in well with us. It takes Christians to change this country.
Well, I should have said national organization. I know you're not. I'm talking about Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, run down the list, American Family Association. Can anybody run down that? They're all compromised conservatives. Every one of them are compromised conservatives. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I'm going to come up with a new plan of attack. It was kind of disgusting last night. That school board meeting. Remember I told you some meetings we have 60 people, some 70, some 120, 150. Guess how many we had last night? Nine. Guess who?
Nine.
They were all nine people from Church in the Garage. Everybody's gone. They have all went away. They started out last night with the meeting with, and they never do this. Usually it's right to the public speakers right away. They've learned to give us a bunch of crap on the big screen. So last night they put all the little kids up there, and I'm going to say this, and whoever's listening, listen up, because they're going to go report this back to the little, to the man on the school board. Steve Thompson retired last night. As soon as they hear his name, they're going to go. They're going to call him this morning. So his retirement last night, Christian man that got on there 12 years ago for John Freshwater. Then they highlighted his son, Andrew Thompson. Good kid. I knew him in Little League Baseball. He's the principal of the middle school or elementary school. All it was video, video, video of all the precious little children and their behavior and their trinkets they get and tickets they get for drawings and giveaway prizes. All these little kids and interviewing the kids, how happy the kids are in their school. It's so much fun. Oh, it was, I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, I got to get up there and rebuke them right after this 15-minute video. So I get up, I said, oh, and the superintendent said before I got up there, Mr. Christian, Bill Cedar, that still hasn't given me my appointment, and I called him out on that. He said, oh, I'm just getting so sick and tired of all the negativity in these meetings. He's mad. I get up, I'm like, I walk up towards that pulpit, I walk up there, and I'm like, here goes. I said, okay, I agree, all the little kids up on that screen are precious. They're precious. But here comes negativity. Oh, man, you ought to see them look at me. Then I give them the train up a child. And then I went through the stats on that, taking the prayer out of the school. And what are we doing? And they're looking at me like I got three heads. I'm telling you, it was just ridiculous. And I brought up the incident of the sexual molestation, one of the kids being sexually assaulted. He looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, you haven't heard of it, the superintendent. They act like it never happened. And I'm like, oh, here we go. But they're just trying to make us out now to be just troublemakers. It's like,
sure. Well, because Jeff, you're bucking their religion.
Yeah.
It's humanism. You're bucking their religion.
Yep.
You're bucking their religion. God bless you, Jeff, for everything that you're doing. We need 10,000 more just like you. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I think you're really on something here with, and we've talked about humanism many times, but I see something, Coach. We're going on the offensive here. Okay, that. We know the Holy Spirit's on the offensive, Coach. So I really think we need to ride this horse really along as far as it goes. And we need to put their system back in their face, exactly what you've been on all morning. Use all the things that are going or that are stupid and put them right back in their face and say, how is this working? You know, how is this? So I think with the strategy here, Coach, that I see coming forward is how do we attack this humanism? Because it is a religion. We know that if we can prove it, that's what Jesus did to them, Coach. Judaism had taken the word of God and made it of none effect. They had put a system put it in and push God completely out of the temple, completely out of everything. What Jesus did, Coach, he came in and he put it right in their face of those, their religious system, which had nothing to do with God. It was totally, Judaism is totally humanistic, Coach. We need to do the same thing. Yes. We need to take their system and put it right back in their face, just like you did with the transgenders and the feminists. We need to divide their house with their own hypocrisy.
That's right, Randy. And we can do that, see? We can do that. But, Randy, not if we think we're about to get raptured out of here. If our whole focus is evacuation, we will never occupy. Friends, you cannot surrender and contend at the same time. You cannot surrender and conquer at the same time. And we have a surrender mentality in our churches. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is it. If that was ever it. Spencer, real quick. Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead.
Exactly why God is raising up a new breed of pastors, Coach. This is who you're seeing come out of all the dead, the escapism mentality churches. You're seeing people that see the falseness, the hypocrisy of it, the humanism of it, and they're moving out. God's raising up the new pastors, Coach. The new people that will get rid of the fake church. We're seeing that happen.
Hey, Randy, folks. I just Googled, hang on, Jeff, hang on. I just Googled, is humanism a religion? Is humanism, I just Googled it. You know what it says, first thing come up? Generic humanism is simply a moral doctrine. Christian humanism, otherwise known as humanistic Christianism, is a religion. It's a religion of our public schools, for heaven's sake. So hang on a minute. Hang on. Let me get this out of me so I can take a nap this afternoon, sleep well. The pulpit is responsible. You've all heard this, right? Scroll down there, Spencer, if you could for me. Scroll down. Who said this? Charles Finney, 1875. Charles Finney said, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If morality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there's a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it." Hang on a minute, Dusty. The public press has a new religion. It's humanism. So therefore, they think they're moral. If the church is degenerate and worldly, well, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit's responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our policies become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, folks, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, my dear brothers, but let us lay it to heart and be thoroughly awake to our responsibility and respect to the morals of this nation. Charles Finney, 1875. Veronica, come on in. God, if I didn't host this show, I'd watch it. Go, Veronica.
Oh, and I watched you on Brady on yesterday too. Speaking of humanism, have you ever heard of a sermon by Paris Reedhead called 10 Shekels and...
Yes, I have. Sure. 10 Shekels and a Shirt.
All about humanism. And I just thought it was great. And it went in with all this.
Amen. Do you think the average pastor in America knows humanism is a religion? Do you think they have any idea? I would say, no, they don't. Dale, come in. Then Tom Stout. Go, Dale.
Amen, brother. But there's some needles in haystacks. You know what I shared in opening on Sunday? Montesquieu, Blackstone, Declaration of Independence, and Mayflower Compact. And then went to Patrick Henry's incredible speech. Amongst a ruckus group of people, give me liberty or give me death, which silenced the crowd, brother. But you know what? The rapture, let me tell you what, twist on words, when the pastors are preaching rapture, what they're really preaching is retreat.
Rapture. Escape.
It is retreat. No, it's retreat from the battlefield because we went from being nicer than Jesus, loving better than Jesus, to where we don't want to offend anybody. And now we're at the point we don't even want to offend our enemy. And I'm not talking about people. We don't even want to offend the devil, brother.
It's an excuse for our cowardice is all it is, brother. It's an excuse for our cowardice.
This, what we're seeing, this humanism right now, this, brother, do you see, do you look in these people's eyes? This is their religion. This is their God. What did Fauci say? Truth is science, and I am science. I am science. What is he exchanging himself? I am. That's exactly what we're seeing about Fauci and what's going on in this thing. These people are just absolutely, this is bought and sold, juiced up. What they believe humanism religion is, that the jab is their God.
Amen. Tom Stout, come on in.
Actually, it's a demo today, but I wanted to let everybody know, in case they didn't, that rapture was not believed in or really considered until the 1880s. And so I agree with Dale. It's just a way to retreat. And I can guarantee you, Finney would never have retreated.
No. Well, here's the thing, Emma, really. Folks, I don't want to hurt anybody's theology. If you believe in a soon coming rapture, praise the Lord. We're supposed to occupy till he comes. How do you put that doctrine, escapism, above occupy? Can somebody explain how we can convolute those two? Occupy till he comes. If he comes and rescues you out, then you don't have to occupy anymore. But until he comes, you got to occupy. How can we?
Amen.
How can we conflate those two doctrines? I don't get it. I swear I don't get it. I don't get it. Come on in, Jeff. Now,
motivate. That is not the key issue in these buildings today.
James Bruner, come on, James.
All right, Coach, since I kind of kicked it off, I'm going to ask an ironic question. If we're saying that religion is being taught in the schools and it's atheistic humanism, shouldn't the ACLU be arguing for us?
Yeah, but James, they're not going to because they believe in that other religion, see?
I get that, but that's why I say it. It's an ironic question.
So, folks, there's the kingdoms, right? There's the two kingdoms in conflict. Humanism, the five I wills of the devil. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will. Humanism, as opposed to dying to self. Christianity, there's your battle. There's your battle. It's right in front of you. And we look around and what do we see? We see government who's now God, who thinks they can provide for everybody, heal everybody, cure everybody, be fair to everybody. Folks, can't you see it? Can't you not see that the earth, including the church, is drenched in humanism? Drenched in it. We're called to lay down our lives. And we're teaching us now to enhance our lives. The gospel will enhance our lives. In fact, those of you who go out regularly and try to bring people to Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. Most of you aren't as effective as you need to be because you're telling everybody that God has a wonderful plan for their lives and Jesus loves you and all that. They already know it. They love themselves too. Why wouldn't Jesus love them? See, we don't lead with the wrath of God.
Amen.
Which drives them to repentance. We don't lead with that. See, run for your life.
Amen.
The Lord's coming. Run for your life. That doesn't sell, does it? That doesn't sell. And so we give them a false humanistic. Come to Jesus and your life will be all better. It's all about them. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to see why we've been so ineffective. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, you know, back in 1961, the U.S. Supreme Court said that humanism is a religion.
That's right. Yes, it is. Holy Trinity. Yes, sir. And so, folks, we have Luke 14, Spencer. Go ahead, Jeff, while I'm getting on Luke 14. Your hand's up, Jeff. Did you want to come in? You frozen? Luke 14. Michelle gave it to me this morning. I love my wife. I love my wife. Begin verse 16. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant, Coach Dave, and Randy, and Larry, at supper time, to get outside of the house, say, come on in, boys. Come on in. Come on in. We got a big meal coming here. Everybody, come on in here. Come on in here. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. I could go home right now. This first said unto him, why, Lord, I bought a nice piece of property. And I got to go and tend it. I got to go plow that. Is it okay, Lord? Can I be excused? Another said, God, Lord, I'd love to serve you, but you know, I just bought me five cows. Somebody's got to go milk them. Is it okay, Lord? Can I be excused here, Lord? I'll come back later. I really love you. I really want to serve you. But Lord, listen, I got these cows. You know, you understand, don't you, Lord? You blessed me with those cows. You gave them to me. Certainly, Lord, I have to be a good steward. I have to go take it. Lord said, no, 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 no. Well. And then another man said, oh, man, I just married this beautiful woman. Oh, I ain't got time. I got to go lay with her. I'm sorry, Lord. Can I pick that up next week, Lord? Would that be okay if I did that? So that servant came and showed his Lord all these things. And the master of the house got ticked off. And he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in to me the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Because it's easier for a camel to enter in through a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as you've commanded. And there's still a lot of room left. And the Lord said unto the servant, okay, then do me a favor. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden and refused shall taste of my supper. And if any man come to me and doesn't hate his daddy and his mommy and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yeah, and his own life, I'm sorry, he cannot be one of the players on my team. And whoever does not pick up his own cross and come after me, I'm sorry, he can't be on my team either. For which of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't sit down first and say, how much is this going to cost me? You know something? This is going to cost me everything. Can I finish this before I start? Can I finish it? Jesus, when he hung on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. Not started. Not halfway done. It's finished. Lest, happily, after he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. And all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this guy wasn't man enough to finish what he started. He's a blowhard, lured away by money and cows and sex. Thanks, Michelle. That's pretty tough, isn't it? That's pretty tough. Hey, Spencer, one more thing I want to throw up in there. Oh, come on in here, Randy, while I'm looking. Got Randy and Craig with the Zeros. And go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, if you don't give up everything, you're really not a disciple. Essence is what he's saying, I think. But that's awesome, Coach. Michelle hit it. Coach, I want to say something about this. If we can divide their house, Coach, as we come against the world system, and that's what we're doing, We're trying to liberate people from it, and we're trying to expose it, and we're trying to kill it because, yes, I want my earth. I want God's kingdom here now. I want it. I don't want to for in this by and by. It starts now. Coach, we have to divide their house. And I think what James is alluding to, Coach, for instance, the ACLU, if we would speak up and say, listen, you're fighting the same people that come against you now should be the same people that are defending us that want to stay free from the weapon, you know? So yep. they're hypocrites. Coach, we need to point out the hypocrisy of these systems right now in real time. And we need to divide their house.
We need to divide their house because a house divided.
That's it.
A house divided cannot stand. Hang on. I got 4 minutes left. Spencer, pull up for the greater good. I saw this yesterday. I sent it to a lot of you. Some of you have already seen it. But this is absolutely profound. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, okay? 2 minutes. Humanism. 2 minutes of humanism, although we're not able to recognize it, see? When it's about you, it's humanism. When it's about him, it's Christianity. Go ahead.
I need you to stay in your home for a couple weeks. It's for the greater good. We need you to close your business just for a short time. It's for the greater good. We need you to stay home just a little bit longer than 2 weeks. It's for the greater good. We need you to wear this on your face. It's for the greater good. We need you to wear two of these on your face. It's for the greater good. We need you to inject this into your body. It's for the greater good. We need you to spend the holidays alone. It's for the greater good. You must inject this into your body. If you want to feed your family, it's for the greater good. We need you to stop eating that. It's not good for the environment. It's for the greater good. We need you to stop driving your car and flying. It's for the greater good. We need you to stop heating your home so often. It's for the greater good. We need you to stop saying that. It's hurting some people's feelings. This is for the greater good. We need you to stop having children. It's not good for the planet. This is for the greater good. We need you to stop talking about your faith. It's offending people. This is for the greater good. We need to separate you from your children because you're not complying. This is for the greater good. We need to hold you in a facility for a little while for not cooperating. This is for the greater good. 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 This is for the greater good.
This is for the greater good. It's all about humanism. It has infiltrated our pulpits. It's infiltrated our churches. It's infiltrated our homes. It's all about me. Greater love has no man than this, than he would quit worrying so much about him and lay down his life for his friends. God bless you. See you tomorrow.